You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 21st of September 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got an interesting bit of news to get into today, and it's something that I've been talking about here on Radio Albion for quite a few years now. Nationalists have been pointing it out, and now we are finally starting to see the state actually beginning to pay attention to it. And this is the plight of our white children, who are the most likely members in society, the most likely children in society, to be able to be productive and to give back to society. They are the brightest members in society. They have the highest average IQ, and yet they're now the most likely to be left behind by the school system. White working class children are being left behind by the school system, face a lifetime of economic disadvantage, and will be hit hardest by the coronavirus crisis, new research reveals. So on top of that, on top of the fact that they're not getting the help that they should be getting, thanks to coronavirus, they've missed out on a year's worth of education or 6 months worth of education. The children that have been able to be going to private schools, they've still managed to get their education. Their teachers have ensured that the pupils had computers and that they had online lessons. But for some reason, that couldn't be done for the state schools and the state school children. Continuing with this, however, help to raise educational standards is often targeted at ethnically diverse areas and pupils from minority backgrounds, further stacking the cards against poor white boys and girls, academics said. And this isn't just happening in school, is it? This is happening everywhere. All the resources are being targeted at ethnic minorities, and any resources... Well, there are no resources that are targeted at white people. And if people call for resources to be diverted towards white people, they will be accused of being racist. We recently had a rich benefactor who wanted to donate thousands of pounds to a college to set up a scholarship for the white working class, this group in society that is the most overlooked. And no school would accept it, because if they had accepted it, they would have been accused of being racist. Because we're being told that white people have this invisible privilege. We have this invisible privilege, and if we don't actually succeed in life, it's just because we haven't taken advantage of that privilege. It's not because we face exactly the same difficulties as every other ethnic minority in a multicultural zone, which we now forced to live in. They will try and say that it's just because these white children failed to take advantage of it. In actual fact, they're getting no resources. All the resources are being diverted towards minorities who are the least likely to be able to succeed. And this is the excuse. This is the reason why they say we need to divert them to these ethnic minorities, because they don't do very well at school. They don't have such a high employment rate as whites. They are more likely to get involved in crime. And white people will be blamed for this. We'll be told that it must be us being racist, which is causing this. And of course, the other argument is, well, these ethnic minorities have a much lower average IQ. And if you have a lower average IQ, that is a predictor for not doing well at school, not doing well at employment, and also having a higher propensity towards crime. If you have white people with low IQs, they're not going to do very well in society. And we've imported these other races that have far, far lower average IQs than we do. Just looking at the global IQ index, we can see that English children have an average IQ of 100. Pakistan has an average IQ of 84. Syria has an average IQ of 83. Bangladesh, 82. And then we can look at Africa, and the highest IQ in Africa is 75. So it's 25% lower than the average IQ among whites. So even with all the resources being directed to African children, the highest improvement, the most improvement they're going to be able to get out of those Africans is to possibly improve their IQ to 85. And if those resources were directed towards the white children, their IQ could be raised to 110. And somebody with a much higher IQ is going to be so much more creative, so much more of an asset to the country. This is why when we look at Africa, we can see that it never developed its own civilization. It never developed its own system of law or education or writing or anything like that. And it didn't matter how many of them were produced. It didn't matter how many black people reproduced. We have millions of them now, bordering on billions of black people now. And yet they've never been able to produce a civilization in all the millennia that they've been on the planet. And that's because they never had anybody with a high IQ. So one person with an IQ of 120 is obviously going to be worth a million people with an IQ of 75. They're not even going to be able to invent the wheel, are they? This is the situation that we're in. And I'm not trying to demean black people here. This is just facts. This is the facts of the way things are. This is the way reality is. You have to measure these things by IQ. So in a desperate attempt to try and improve on nature, because don't forget, this is the way these people were created. That's the way they are. And in man's hubris, he says, well, we can improve on this. And he hasn't been able to improve on this. All he has done is give these other races a chip on their shoulder and an excuse to blame white people for their perceived problems. It shouldn't be perceived as a problem. It should just be perceived as that is the way they are. We shouldn't be trying to change them. And it's at our own people's expense. It's at the expense of our own white working class children. One Oxford University don said the plight of working class white children was seen as unfashionable and not worthy. I mean, it's seen as far worse than that. It's seen as racist or white supremacist to point it out. He suggested that even raising the issue was taboo, particularly in academic circles, as it was associated with hard right political thinking. Now, why is it associated with hard right political thinking? Because the normal right wing pays no attention to it. The normal left wing pays no attention to it. We are the only people that are paying attention to it and that are drawing attention to it, or at least we were until this investigation was actually carried out by the state. This research, submitted to the Commons Education Select Committee, revealed that white pupils eligible for free school meals are half as likely as their peers from poor ethnic minority backgrounds to achieve strong passes in the 8 GCSEs used in school league tables. They're also more likely to attend a failing school and live in struggling communities in the North and the Midlands. And don't forget, these are the pupils that are the most likely to be able to succeed and benefit from these resources because they have the higher IQ. And what they're saying here, the ethnic minority backgrounds are twice as likely as them to achieve a strong pass, well, if those resources had been directed towards those white children, rather than getting a strong pass, they probably would have passed with a distinction. They probably would have got very, very high marks if they had had all the resources given to them that the ethnic minorities had. And these failing schools that, they're forced to attend, this is because the money just isn't there to give to these schools unless they are multicultural schools. We see Ofsted actually marking down schools if they don't have non-white pupils in them. We see them being marked down for not being diverse enough, not teaching the children there what it's like to live in a multicultural society. Never mind the fact that a homogenous classroom is going to be so much better for children to learn in. We've even recently seen children, white children, being arrested for asking to be moved into a different group because nobody in the group speaks English. Imagine that. You're a small child, you're 7 or 8 years old, and you're put in a group with 5 or 6 other children, and you're told to work together on a history assignment, and all the other children are speaking in a different language. And you go to the teacher and you say, I can't work with these children because they don't speak my language. And the teacher calls you racist, phones the police, and has you arrested. That's the situation that we are now in Britain and in other white countries. It's not just the fact that there are no resources being diverted towards these children, but they are being stigmatized as well. For being white, they're being told that they have this imaginary privilege. They're being told that their people have done nothing but oppress these non-whites. And all of it is just so that we can have these multicultural societies. It's so that we can appease these other people that are now living within our countries. How much easier it would be if we were just segregated, if we lived in separate communities. You could still have, if you really wanted it, you could still have your multicultural country, but you could say, well, we'll have all the non-whites in one area. We'll have them all in London, and we'll ensure that the rural areas are kept as sanctuaries for the indigenous people. The same as in Northern America, you have sanctuaries for the Native Americans. How about we do something like that in Britain? And we just say, well, you can have your multicultural area over there, and we'll have our white area over here. And you would have no more racism. You would have no more discrimination, because all the people in the white area would be equal to one another, and all the people in the non-white area would be equal to one another. And you could divert the resources equally in between them. I don't see why that is seen as being a racist proposition. Surely it's the opposite of a racist proposition. It's ensuring that there is no such thing as racism. It just wouldn't exist. It couldn't exist if we had a situation like that. Lee Elliott Major, Professor of Social Mobility at Exeter University, warned MPs that these pupils will suffer the most from the effects of the pandemic and face permanent educational and economic scarring. Despite the weight of evidence highlighting this group as the underdogs of the school system, schemes to raise standards often overlook them. Researchers at Plymouth University cited a government-backed tuition pilot targeted at large cities with diverse populations and charity rules which demand that a percentage of the participants are from ethnic minorities. So these rural areas that just have white children are not going to get the money. They are not going to get the resources because they don't have ethnic minorities there with them. And yet it's these rural white children that are the ones that are missing out. They're the ones least likely to succeed. And in actual fact, they're the ones with the most potential. It's like having the brightest kids and just ignoring them and having the kids least likely to succeed and diverting all your resources to them. It's an absolute waste of resources. Continuing here, they say such schemes effectively exclude predominantly white areas, such as deprived coastal towns. Dr. Alex Gibson, senior research fellow at Plymouth, told the Mail on Sunday, the lack of help for white working class children might be explained in part by a wish to be colorblind. And this is the excuse for all of it, isn't it? Well, this is just about equality. Well, it's not about equality. It is about taking away from white people. It's about making everybody unequal. It's about making these ethnic minorities into a privileged class and white people into an underclass. And charity rules which demand a percentage of participants from ethnic minorities. Ethnic minorities are allowed to have their own charities based on their race. Muslims are allowed to have their own charities based on their race. Homosexuals can have their own charities based on their sexuality. But white people, we're not allowed to have any charities that are based just on whites, because that would be racist. Professor Peter Edwards, head of inorganic chemistry at Oxford, said the research left no question whatsoever that white working class children, and boys in particular, were being failed. Imagine if this was the other way around. Imagine if this was girls that were only doing half as well as everybody else. There would be an absolute uproar over this. He continued, "The plight of white, young, disadvantaged children is being largely ignored. It is still a taboo subject in many areas where it must be addressed. The economic shock of the COVID crisis and potentially the emerging Brexit situation brings an urgent need for new thinking and new actions." He added that the progressive mantra that being white confers inherent advantage or privilege had contributed to poor white British boys being at the bottom of the educational heap. And then we get people wondering why there is an upswing in nationalism and why people are joining populist movements and why people are starting to reject multiculturalism. And us here at Radio Albion and elsewhere, we're accused of being the ones that are causing this. We're not causing this. What is causing this is reality. It is the way that white people are now being told we have this privilege. It is the way that people watch television and see that white people are being replaced by black people in all the adverts and in all the presenters. It's when our white children go to school and they see that there are special programs put in place to help the non-whites and no programs put in place for them. It's when they get divided up on the grounds of race and they hear all the non-white kids having a party in a classroom, and they're, all the white kids are in a separate classroom being told that they are responsible for slavery. They are responsible for oppressing these peoples, and they are responsible for why Africa is in the situation that it is in. People may think that is extreme, but that is what was shown on a Channel 4 series very recently. These lessons that these children are being forced to go through. This is what is causing the upswing in populist sentiment. This is what is causing the flowering of a sense of identity among white people, and particularly in Britain. The British people are starting to remember their heritage. They're starting to remember their identity. And it's not because of the small people that we reach out to here on Radio Albion, or the small audience that people have on YouTube. It's because it's the truth. And we are programmed to seek for the truth, and we yearn for the truth. We love the truth. That's just the way that we are. And when people are trying to tell us lies, we don't like it and react against it. And the reaction against it is the nationalist populist movement that we now see taking place in every white country. We don't want to see our children being left behind on the scrap heap. And it's not that we want to see anybody else's children left behind on the scrap heap either. It's just that we can see that the best way to do things is to be segregated. And this is what these black advocacy movements are asking for themselves. They want to see more black representation. Okay, well, how about giving them 100% black representation and give white people 100% white representation? Exactly how the natural world works. Why don't we try this? Why is it that nobody on the television is ever suggests this as being the sensible option. They do in Russia. Russian politicians have pointed out that that is the sensible option. That is the best way to sort out the problems that they have in America. Why is it taboo to point this out? Why do the BBC pretend that nobody thinks this way? Because it is the natural way to think. This is what is causing people to wake up. The best recruiters to nationalism are the BBC. Just people watching what is going on that television set. That is the best recruiter that we as nationalists have. Professor Edwards warned of grave socio-economic and socio-political consequences if this large cohort of young people in the UK see that they are not afforded the sort of positive actions and obvious advantages that other groups have in the name of inclusion, diversity, and equality. And again, this is the thing. They talk about inclusion, but what they are doing is excluding white people. They talk about equality, but what they are actually doing is taking from white people to give to black people. And they talk about diversity, and in actual fact, mixing all the races together destroys the natural diversity of the world, because they end up interbreeding and you just end up with a brown mass of humanity with no identity, no heritage, no ancestors, they have no sense of identity other than by the things that they consume, which is, of course, why this is of a benefit to oligarchs and corporations. Why people identify with the musicians that they like or the football teams that they like, rather than identifying with their people and trying to capitalize on the gifts that they were given by their people. If you have no heritage, you don't have any of the gifts of your people, do you? I saw a Twitter video recently. It was so sad. A mixed race girl. Saying how sad she was that people liked her hair and they liked the way that she looked different, but she didn't like being different. She wanted to look like her parents. She wanted to have other people in her family that looked like her. And it's an absolute tragedy what is being done in the names of progressivism to these children from mixed race parents. They must be blind not to realize what they're doing to their children by creating children like that. It is the greatest tragedy of our times, I believe, miseducation. Professor Edwards continued, this will lead to a disturbing narrative and a vicious spiral downwards. I believe this is an utterly critical point, not only to utilise the huge untapped potential there surely must be, but also the real threat of the destabilisation of the very fabric of the country. And it's this upswing towards nationalism, I believe, that he is pointing out here. What will happen if we ignore the needs of our white working class children and they see special privileges being granted to these non-whites, they're going to be very angry about that. They are going to be very angry about that. And young people don't often think about the consequences of their actions. You know, the state is wondering why we have this increase in what they call far-right terrorism. This is the reason for it. It's because these kids, these white working class kids, are being overlooked at their schools, and this resentment builds up and they feel they don't have any hope. They look at the politicians, they look at the politics, and there's nobody there representing white people. They look for a television program about white people. There isn't one. They look for music that sings the praises of white people. They can't find any. And they think that it's just hopeless. And the only way that they can change things is by carrying out property damage or plotting violence against people, because they feel that they have no hope. This is why it's so important that we have organizations like Patriotic Alternative. This is why it's important that we have radio stations like Radio Albion. But we are throttled. We are not able to reach out to these kids because we can't advertise on social media. Because if we're advertising on social media, somebody might come across our information and they might be offended by it. We do all we can to make certain that our content is within the law. We don't incite hatred against any protected class, and we keep to the American law as well. We don't incite violence against any protected class. And yet still we are silenced and we're banned from social media. We're banned from having a voice. It's ridiculous. We are the very people that could reach out to these kids that go on the wrong path, and our information is hidden from them and our voices are not heard in society. And because our voices are not heard, these kids don't think that there is a voice for them. You know, I just hope that people do reach out to younger nationalists and encourage them to listen to Radio Albion and to look up Patriotic Alternative and to realise that there is a lawful way of trying to deal with this problem, and there are people that are advocating for them, and they don't have to go out and do anything silly. But this is what this Professor Edwards is referring to here, where he says there is the real threat of destabilisation of the very fabric of the country being caused by this, by these white children being overlooked in favour of non-whites who have only been in the country for the last 70 years. Professor Elliot Major said policymakers should concentrate on vocational alternatives to the middle-class academic-oriented route of university degrees. Academics from Bristol said the £1,300 that schools receive for each child on free school meals could be adjusted to direct more funding to poorer white pupils. And you just know what the left wing are going to say if there's any funding that goes directly to white pupils. They're going to start saying, oh, race is just a social construct. Race doesn't exist. Or else they will call it white supremacist or racist, the fact that it's not going to all pupils. The Commons Committee set up its inquiry into left-behind groups earlier this year when its chairman, Robert Halfen, said there was a worrying trend of white pupils from poorer backgrounds underperforming compared with their peers, adding more must be done to tackle this very real social injustice. In last year's GCSEs, the so-called progress score for white pupils slumped, while that for most other ethnicities improved. So this just proves what's going on, doesn't it? If the children with an average IQ of 100 are slumping and the children with an average IQ of 75 are improving, it just shows you that white people do not have privilege. White people are the most looked over people in society. They're right at the bottom of the heap. I've got some further information here that comes from Breitbart on this subject. In the United Kingdom, black and minority ethnic youngsters are much more likely to receive paid internships from which white applicants, or sometimes just straight white males, are banned from applying in order to boost diversity in business and public institutions. On Friday, we were talking about these diversity and inclusion officers. And what is their role? Their role is to get more black, non-white internships. It's to get more black and non-white people into employment. And the way they do that is just by excluding white people. Tell me again that we have white privilege. Under Britain's equality legislation, whites can also be rejected for jobs if a minority candidate is seen as having equal merit, which has been abused by at least one police force to reject highly qualified white applicants. And there was a high-profile court case where the police were taken to court for doing that, for rejecting the son of a police officer in favour of non-white applicants. And this is anti-white. If non-whites can't be racist towards whites, then what they are doing is being anti-white. These policies are anti-white. Researchers at Plymouth University said that the government's tuition scheme that targets large cities with large populations of ethnic minorities and charity rules that require a percentage of the money be directed to minority communities may be a contributing factor in the discrepancy. They argued that the programs directed money away from the white communities, particularly the poorer coastal towns. The parliamentary committee set up earlier this year by Conservative MP Robert Halfon looked into the worrying trend of white pupils from poorer backgrounds underperforming compared with their peers, following the announcement of the committee. Halfon reported that he was accused of being racist by people on the left for endeavouring to research the reasons why working class white boys are falling behind other groups. And all things being equal, they would be streaks ahead of these other groups. And even if they are being ignored because of their high IQ, they should still be at the same level as these other groups. The reason that they're not means that they are really being deprived of something that these non-white groups are being given, surely. Because don't forget, these are the children with the highest average IQ. And if they didn't get the resources, you would imagine that they would still be able to keep level with these non-whites that are being given resources. But they're not. They're not. They're only half as likely to succeed in their exam results. Halfon said, "I have been accused of racism, which I find really hard to fathom. Other ethnic groups are outperforming whites, so I can't see why this is racist," he said in April. And of course, that's because he doesn't understand that racism is just a word to call white people. Anybody that stands up for white people or speaks in any positive way about white people is going to be accused of being racist, and particularly by the extreme left. He doesn't understand that just actually looking out for your own people, if you happen to be white, that is racism. Of course, it's not racism if you're a member of another racial group and you're looking out for the best interests of your people. That's seen as perfectly acceptable. But if you happen to be white and you look out for the interests of whites, oh, well, that's racist. That's forbidden. In an interview with Breitbart London, mixed race educator and political and social commentator Calvin Robertson said, "I saw firsthand that black children of African descent excelled throughout their time in school and were far more likely to go to university. On the flip side of that coin, working class white boys are the most disadvantaged, and very few people seem brave enough to address this problem. The evidence suggests that if the UK is racist, it is not in the way that the hard left would accept." Again, he needs to point out that it's anti-white, rather than pointing out that it is racist. Well, at least this is now being talked about. At least there has been this inquiry. It's been in all the major newspapers. And we'll just have to wait and see whether some funds are directed to these poorer white communities, particularly on the coast. And I would also suggest that it's the same in the rural areas, because the rural areas are also still majority white. And they could definitely do with more funds and more help with teaching their children. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.